Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the morning dog walk of free speech, because that's what it is. And go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage. I did it. You can too. It's so simple and easy too. All right, so today I'm going to be giving my thoughts on some things. Dr. Duke will be calling in as soon as he's ready, probably before you know it. And he'll join for a while, and then I'll close up the show on my own again. What I was going to get started with, there is a podcast I've been watching. Well, I don't watch it. I listen to it pretty regularly, almost on a daily basis. It is Alexander Mercurius. He doesn't say his own name, so I don't hear his name, but I think that's how it's pronounced. And he's also on a podcast called The Duran with Alex Christofaru, who is an American living in either Greece or Cyprus, somewhere over there. And these are both individuals of Greek origin. Alexander Mercurius is Greek, but I guess he grew up in London he lives in London, speaks with a British accent, but has some sort of Greek connection as well. At any rate, he does a very good job of putting together news about what's going on in Ukraine. That's it. His own daily show is almost entirely focused on Russia and Ukraine at this point. And I guess he's been even before the war, he was focused on Russia. So this, I guess, has been throughout his career, it's been at least one of the focuses. I know he had been a barrister, which is some sort of lawyer, for a while. He was involved in something, and he's not a barrister any longer. And he's been doing this, where he talks about international politics, and has had at least one of his focuses on Russia, one of his foci on Russia. And he does a very fine job. And then occasionally I'll watch where he's on with Alex Christofaru, and they're talking more generally about international politics. Now, but here's the thing. I was just listening today, and for just briefly, they had, their most recent show, or one of their most recent shows, they were taking questions and answers. So they take questions via email or chat or whatever. Come on, we're going. They take questions, and one of the questions was about Jeffrey Sachs. Apparently they had done a program with Jeffrey Sachs not too long ago, and the question was something like, Jeffrey Sachs, who would have imagined him emerging as the voice of reason? And the person, in the chat left his name, or referred to Jeffrey Sachs as Dr. Shock or something like that. And of course, Jeffrey Sachs, he has emerged as a voice of reason in the Ukraine conflict. The shock, what does the shock refer to? It refers to the shock therapy when he was, 30 years ago, when he was a youngish economics professor at Harvard. He had gone around the world, first I think to Peru, then to Poland, and then most notoriously to Russia. And he pushed shock therapy. Now the shock therapy, it was the sudden privatization of nationalized sectors of the economy, which in the case of Russia was basically the entire economy was nationalized. So you had this sudden privatization. And I won't go into the details of it. You may have heard me go into the details of it before, But as a result of the shock therapy, within a very short period of time, you had the economy, the most valuable parts of the economy, in the hands of Jewish oligarchs who had connections both to the old regime, but also, crucially, had connections to Jewish capital outside of Russia, because you had to be a Russian citizen in order to partake in this. That was what the reference was to. And Mercurius said, well, I have a great deal of respect for Jeffrey Sachs, and he didn't refer very directly to shock therapy, but he said, if you want to know what Jeffrey Sachs, Professor Sachs, feels about his days in Russia, you have to read his work. Okay, fair enough. So, you know, I don't know if he's ever done a mea culpa, if he's ever said, well, actually, this was what I was trying to do, but it wound up being hijacked by international Jewish finance or whatever. I don't know if he's ever said anything like that. But at any rate, what was notable, though, was, Alexander Mercurius is a good guy. I'm not knocking him. I'm not knocking Alex Christofaru. But, and, you know, I watched this on Rumble, but I think they're still on YouTube, and they studiously avoid saying certain things. They will not mention the name of that notorious World War II leader with the mustache. I'll mention his name. Mackenzie King, Prime Minister of Canada. I don't actually know if he had a mustache. Nobody knows what he looks like. Apparently, he used to do seances with Benjamin Fulford's grandmother or great-grandmother, and that's a real thing. It's kind of weird, but that's an aside. Anyway, not Hitler. Mackenzie King used to. So, where was I with this? The thing is, they cannot talk about Jewish power. They cannot talk about Jewish power, and you know, so there's. It's just this gaping hole in their analysis. And anybody who does talk about Jewish power is, you're going to struggle to hear them. Now, one person who does talk about Jewish power is Kanye West. Obviously, yay, he's talking about Jewish power. Now, it is kind of a struggle to hear him now. I don't know if he's talking so much the past couple of weeks. Nick Fuentes, his brand new top advisor, is he's making a weekly podcast, and those are good. They're excellent. But we haven't heard a whole lot from Ye. There was supposedly going to be a you know, a gamer podcast that he was going to be on, and they got canceled. But one thing I did hear, and I think Dr. Duke's about to call in, but one thing I did hear was that, I turned on my YouTube this morning, and what do I find? I see, like, at the very top of my own YouTube, like, a recommended short video, because now they're doing these short videos that are, like, filmed in vertical aspect or something. They're doing these short videos. And this was a video of Kanye West's, I think it was just his voice and a picture. I don't look at the screen very much. Saying a whole bunch of crazy, well, you could say it's crazy stuff. It's honestly, it's less crazy than what you hear in the mainstream news. But about, I don't know, I don't think he said Illuminati, but, you know, just weird stuff. But the thing is, this was what was being pushed by Google, by YouTube. So they're actually pushing some of this. All right, so here we got Dr. Duke calling in right on time. Hello, Dr. Duke. Thank you for joining us right on time.
Are you live right now?
No, I'm not live. I'm recording, and this will be broadcast in a few hours at the regularly scheduled time.
Otherwise, I would be talking about my show coming up right after this.
Well, we will talk about the show coming up right after this.
Which is 10 a.m. I'm on at 10 a.m. every day, of course, Central Time. on the Rinse Radio Network, and I often have a lot of programs that I end up doing on the Republic Broadcast Network as well. It's a great network, and they're great people, and I really respect their work. And of course, there's nobody I respect more in terms of your intellect, your knowledge, and your dedication to the truth than you, Dr. Patrick Slattery, and I'm thankful for your work for all of us.
Well, thank you very much. So, you know, we talked earlier this morning, and my just a very brief recap. I was talking about the work of Alexander Mercuris, and I depend on his work to keep up to date on what's going on in Ukraine, but pointing out that that Mercuris, he avoids, studiously avoids talking about certain issues, first and foremost about Jewish power, and that is the one thing nobody can talk about. I also noted, this is odd, I don't know if you've seen any of this, that the past couple of days, when I pull up YouTube, at the very top of my own suggested list is Kanye West. Wow, he's on YouTube, but it's only Kanye West sounding crazy. So they're pushing this. But
yeah, I read an article this morning. If you'd like me to share with you, I read an article this morning and from a major media, and it actually says that the truth is that Kanye West was actually worth more than $2 billion. It was more like $6 billion in terms of his long-term contracts, and that now his wealth has dwindled to less than $500 million. But even that is being contested, and a lot of people are saying no, he's maybe, just maybe, scraping through, which is not really scraping through for most of us. We wouldn't think of it as scraping through, but in the a few hundred million, maybe $100 million. Mm-hmm. But then again, a lot of that money is tied up. A lot of that money is promised. A lot of that money is going to be in contention, and he's now having to do a lot of settling in terms of his marriage with Kim Kardashian, and the guy is really facing a hard road to hoe. And apparently, according to his manager, I just read this article today that his business manager said he disappeared the last few days. They said maybe it's due to one of the contracts, the disputes or legal matters. He didn't want to be served, but he's actually disappeared. I mean, the guy is facing the full brunt, like a Jewish frontal assault, just for basically saying that Jews and Jewish organizations and Jewish producers and the Jewish agenda in the media, the overwhelming media that hates him, are willing to go to DEFCON 1 against him. They want to go to a nuclear war against him. And that's when he said DEFCON, which was the right word. It was DEFCON, which is kind of medium between perfectly at peace and then maybe at a nuclear war. They've already gone DEFCON 1 on him. I mean, they've been going nuclear. It's nuclear war against an individual when you're trying to destroy their marriage. Mm-hmm. There's even a lot of articles today in the media how that he should lose custody of his children because of his anti-Semitic ideas. I mean, you criticize Jewish power and you're supposed to lose custody of your children. You criticize Jewish power, and Jews are individual Jews. Again, it's not a directed thing. I don't think it's some Jew at the top with ear locks saying, oh, you know, go start dating and having sex with Kanye's ex-wife, a Jew, you know, the Saturday Night Live star. Let's cleave his marriage. We're going to punish him by cleaving his marriage. Yet the New York Times is bragging about that. You can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, Pete Davidson. Yeah, there's probably not a committee of 38 Jews under Lake Geneva who issued an order to Pete Davidson
or even on top of Lake Geneva, even in a ferry boat or something. There's not even 38 Jews there.
but this stuff just happens.
Or a secret base in Antarctica, either that too.
So like with Kanye West, you've got this example of somebody who was a multi-billionaire, starts complaining about Jews being powerful, and then Jews within a matter of weeks take away virtually his entire fortune, saying we're not powerful. You can't say we're powerful. We're obviously not powerful, and we're going to punish you for that. And you know, how much cognitive dissonance can you have? And then also and this is what I want to ask you about, you we're heading into a new year, and every new year the past few years has had like some sort of giant Jewish hoax that is completely like messed up the lives of the entire population, right? Really the entire, at least the entire population of America, with, you know, the coronavirus that impacted the world greatly, the election hoax, you know, on January 6th and everything, which turned our politics upside down. And then this war in Ukraine, which has caused so much fallout in terms of energy prices, deindustrialization of Germany in particular, all sorts of stuff. And so we're heading into this new year. But the war in Ukraine, it just, you have the mainstream media saying how hard that Zelensky's winning, that he's such a hero. And what is bound to come out at some time in 2013 probably is that Russian military is going to have its way. It's going to impose a settlement, because Zelensky, I don't see how he can agree to any kind of settlement. He's made his bed and now he has to sleep in it. He's defecated in his bed and now he has to sleep in it.
Oh, I don't know if that's fair. That's a pretty tough saying. He didn't do the defecation. It's the Jews that defecated in his bed.
Okay. Well, oh, there you go. So, but the thing is, what happens when you've got, and of course, you might even add maybe increasing awareness that the vaccines are just, because everybody knows people who are having massive health problems. What's going to happen? Are, you know, the society's been so destabilized by these hoaxes, and now the hoaxes, you know, they're getting impossible to hide. And so in particular, though, what happens when Ukraine is forced to surrender or come to terms imposed on them by Russia? What happens to American or world politics then?
Good question. Yeah, I've almost got a blank. This is an interesting show. This is a conversation we have, and this is a conversation we have about Ukraine right now. I'm still stuck on the defecation remark, you know, because it's like I want to do that first before I go further into the Ukraine war, because I think Ukraine's being defecated on. I think Europe's being defecated on. And I was just thinking when you made that comment, and I said, yeah, they're the ones defecating in his bed. And I was thinking, you know what? It's like, why do these Jews have so much, even in their comedy, they just love excrement jokes. They just love what they call piss jokes or defecation jokes.
Which is why I hesitated to say it in the first place.
I know. But, you know, it's interesting that they do this. I'm almost finished in my comment, and say whatever you want. But I always think, too, about the most classic defecation libel, I guess, in the history of the world, is what they have in the Talmud. When they actually claim in the Talmud, this is serious. You can read about this from Peter Schaeffer's book, Jews in the Talmud. He was the head of Judaic Studies at Princeton, one of the biggest authorities on Jewish history in the world and Judaism in the world. A book that was forwarded by other major Jewish scholars and Jewish historians of the Jewish religion. And in the Talmud, it says literally that Jewish magicians, and there's a lot of this magic stuff and black magic and white magic and all that in the Talmud, even though it doesn't sound like a very godlike religion to believe that, but there's actually an allegation in the Talmud that Jewish scholars, or Jewish magicians, I should say, that they literally resurrected, that Christ wasn't resurrected by God, but they resurrected his body. They brought him back to life, and now they are...
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
It is done. That's what I say.
Let the man wrap the plan, say that they literally resurrected. The Christ wasn't resurrected by God, but they resurrected his body. They brought him back to life, and now they are torturing him by boiling him in excrement, human excrement, for all of eternity. Boiling him, torturing him in all of eternity. I don't know why that they're so fascinated with that, and I just kind of got stuck on that in my mind, and I think there's so many things we can talk about in terms of. What kind of hatred is it that says that this Laura Wasser, this Jewish divorce attorney to the stars, right, is cleaving the marriage of Kanye West. This was done right after Kanye endorsed President Trump, you know, in the 2020 election, and the beginning of the next year, there here's the New York Times boasting about how the Jewish lawyer, the most famous Jewish divorce lawyer in the world, is bragging about cleaving the marriage of Kanye West. And they actually are trying to brag every day. They're saying right now that they're destroying Russia. If you read in the Jewish media, they're telling us that the Russian economy now is turning down, that the sanctions are starting to work, and they openly are working for the overthrow of Russia. They openly promote racial hatred against people who are Russians, the Russian, what we used to call races, we call them now ethnicities or populations and nationalities, but they have so much hatred toward Russians that if a person simply is born in Russia or from Russia and a symphonic orchestra conductor in the EU or America, they want to destroy their career. They want to fire them. If they're Russian, they don't want them to compete in an athletic event. They want to destroy their career. If they're Russian, obviously they don't have any, you know, human rights, even though there's 144 million Russians. And in the same media that tells us how Putin doesn't have the support of the people is, you know, condemning these Russians. So going back to the Ukraine thing after that little preamble to begin with, what I would point out is that this war is an incredible, massive atrocity against the Ukrainian people, first and foremost. That's who most of the deaths are coming in, per capita, the biggest numbers of death. But at the same time, because Russia, you know, launched a special operation, which when the war got full born, this war was already being waged by Ukraine against innocent civilians in eastern Ukraine since 2014. So I was reading in the newspapers, I think this morning, I get up early, so I already read for a couple hours in all the latest media of the world, and they were saying that the damage or the death toll of civilians in Ukraine is already about 3,000. I mean, this is like full bore war going on, right? And most of these are residual targets because there's far more casualties, probably maybe 100,000 Ukrainian troops that are casualties, right, in this war. So you have, you know, 3,000 Ukrainian civilians that have died in this war. And I don't think they're really counting the eastern Ukrainians that are still being shelled in Donetsk and all these other areas. But then you go look at Wikipedia and just go look at the common knowledge and just go look at the data that's out there. And we find out that from 2014, before when this war started, there was 13,000, almost all casualties, not in Western Ukraine, not in Kyiv, not in the Ukrainian government-controlled part of the country, but 13,000 casualties in Eastern Ukraine of the Russian-speaking population. And this was general shelling.
13,000 deaths, right?
Yeah, 13,000 deaths.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't make this up, can you? I mean, and maybe that was a reason why Russia finally decided, especially when they started beefing up and they massed 100,000 troops on the border, and they got all this weaponry from NATO, and NATO gave the signal and said, we want you to, you know, invade. And the Jewish elite in a base, it wasn't, again, a plan from one single Jew somewhere, but it was certainly a hive mind, a decision by Jews in media, Jews in governments around the world, Jews in the think tanks that they operate, that they decided that they wanted full-scale war against Russia, and that they saw Russia as a threat to Jewish hegemony, and by any means necessary, whatever it cost in the lives of Ukrainians, whatever it cost obviously in the lives of Russians, they wanted to expend a lot of Russian lives. They're the ones who did this war. It was not an unprovoked war by Russia. It was a war that was already unprovoked, unless people can't even vote for their own destiny, if people don't have that right. If that justifies people being massacred by indiscriminate shelling of cities and villages for years by the Jewish government of Ukraine against the civilian population, which is 99.8%, maybe more than that in the East, of Christians, by Jews, by the Jewish government of Ukraine, and by the Jewish government of the United States under people like Mr. Blinken, the head of our national advisory of security advisor, you know, Avril Haines, all these other people in our government, the people that control the Biden administration, the people who control the funding of the Democratic Party, the people who control the EU so much and through all their media networks. This was not an unprovoked war. This was a war that they wanted, and this is blood that is on their hands, and this is what we all have to really sit down calmly and consider the tragedy that's going on here and the evil. And I don't know how I can describe it. Maybe I'm an historian that needs to speak in more academic terms, but I just consider this.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And I've got a special announcement. Red Pill Politics, Republic of Texas Radio, and Republic Broadcasting have put together a live broadcast day on January 1st, 2023, all day long.
All right, on New Year's Day. I don't want you to get too hammered on New Year's Eve, because I want you to be able to get up as bright-eyed, bushy-tailed as you can, because we're going to have a very special broadcast live on New Year's Day. We haven't got all of the arrangements and all the special guest interviews and all the fun quite packaged together yet, but we're well on our way. You're going to hear some great hosts here at RBN. You're going to hear some great interviews, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think this is going to be fun.
After New Year's Eve, tune in at 8 o'clock in the morning.
This is a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
Calmly and consider the tragedy that's going on here and the evil. And I don't know if I can describe it. Maybe I'm an historian that needs to speak in more academic terms. But I just consider this war an act of evil by the people who've led us into so many evil wars, and so many millions of people have died. And I say to you, and I say to the audience on RBN or any other audience in the world that wants to listen to the truth, that these Jewish wars have been going on for more than 100 years, easily, even at the beginning of the First World War, almost 120 years, right? That's been really been going on, and 110 years, whatever. There's been a Jewish role in some of the major, most killing wars of the world since the very beginning. And there was a major Jewish war in the creation of international communism and driving it all over the world, even spreading it to China, as we know. I talked about with you the other day on my show and talked about the Jews bragging about how that they brought communism to China. And ultimately, the Chinese actually did some pretty good things for China. They did some pretty terrible things, too. But when people look at the deaths from communism all over the world, what happened to Pol Pot and what happened in different places of the world, the millions killed in Russia, the millions killed in Ukraine by the Jewish communists who controlled communism. And then you look at the wars that they had a role in, like the other war. And you said, you're right. They say neocons, Mercurius and the other guy, which I really know as Alexander, you know,
Alex Christopher.
Christopher. Yeah. And you know, I just kind of know them as Alexander, the two Alexanders, but you know, it's like when you really look at this thing, neocon is kind of a euphemism. It's kind of like a code word for Jews. But the problem is that a lot of people aren't clued into the code word. They don't really realize it's used. It's just neoconservatives.
But Jews, dog whistle. We're not dogs, and most people don't hear that frequency.
Exactly. It is a dog whistle. And Jews themselves, though, you read Haaretz newspaper, which is the oldest daily in Israel for Jewish consumption, they say it straight out that these Jews, almost all Jews is what they say the neocons were. They believe they could change history, and they changed history. And these Jews were all the progenitors of this entire Iraq war, for instance, a killing and dangerous war, and the Afghanistan invasion. And probably a million people died in Afghanistan. God knows hundreds of thousands died in Iraq. It was all based on lies. And it was lies propagated not just by Wolfowitz and Pearl, who were the two people in the Pentagon who were behind it, but also, you know, we just keep going on, you know, Gordon, Libby, and all the rest of them. And the media.
I want to ask you about that. And I guess on your show, we'll probably be talking about the hive mind. You mentioned the hive mind earlier. Maybe we can get into that too. But I do want to just finish up on this question about, you know, what happens when it becomes obvious that Ukraine's lost the war? How destabilizing is that? And you just mentioned Wolfowitz, and you mentioned the neocons who brought us the Iraq war. And of course, it took years and years, but eventually you got kind of a semi-consensus that there were no weapons of mass destruction, that was a war based on lies. And yet the people who supported it, people like Hillary Clinton, for instance, could just say, oh, well, the intelligence was bad, and they got a pass. But I think, you know, this war, which is really it's a thinly veiled proxy war with Russia, it has much more significance. I mean, it's really destroying the European economies, and it's really risking World War III in a way that the Iraq war or Afghanistan war never did. You would think that it would have bigger implications, and, you know, indirectly already it's taken casualties of the Swedish government and the Italian government. Not that they have elected anti-Ukrainian governments, but they have elected right-wing governments that include elements, at least in the case of Italy, include elements that are friendlier to Russia, even if the prime minister isn't. But when this all comes crashing down, because there's no way that Ukraine's going to win, the whole media, or at least a big hunk, the aspect of the media line that Ukraine is winning is going to fall apart. And perhaps they might go as far as being able to, there might be the same kind of near consensus that Russia was provoked into this, that Victoria Nuland and she overthrew the government in 2014, and between 2014 and 2022, there was a massive shelling and murder of
That's the only way to put it. Mass murder.
So, how destabilizing would this be to the politics of America and to various European countries that have gone along with this whole Ukraine war?
Well, I'm sorry that Stephen Cohen is not still alive. That's one Jew I wish was alive. He was Jewish, but he was Jews have a word for Gentiles that stand up for Israel and Jewish power and Jewish dictatorship. They call them righteous Gentiles. He was a righteous Jew in the sense that he recognized it very clearly that Russia wasn't the bad guy here. And he recognized the danger to all of humanity by this warmongering and this saber rattling of countries with nuclear weapons against each other, and the placing of nuclear weapons on each other's borders. And I just have to say that this is a time fraught with danger. It is certainly true, and many other scholars have said this, not just myself or yourself, there is probably more danger of nuclear war now than ever before in the history of nuclear weapons. We did drop nuclear weapons, by the way. I guess it's important to notice that America did drop the first weapons on a civilian population too, by the way, and that was against Japan. And America, before we had nuclear weapons, we did a saturated burning bombing, or what they call a holocaust of fire, that destroyed 250,000 in Tokyo, probably a similar amount in Dresden, and killed 600,000-700,000. We're not sure of the numbers of German men, women, and children. And this was bombing, by the way. This was civilian targeted bombing. That this was the program of the so-called Allies during the Second World War, where they intentionally were trying to burn alive, destroy, kill the civilian population as a war measure. And that's even debated today by other people who, you know, are war, what they call it, war historians. And a lot of war historians argue that this attempt to destroy the German working population, which would stop the production of their military or theoretically to stop their plants and war plants and so forth, munitions plants, that it was actually a failure, that it probably extended the war because it killed civilians, but it didn't really go into these remote factories and these others and stop the production of German weapons. It did kill a lot of people, probably proportionally, just proportionally, women and children, women and mothers with their babies burned alive in their homes in these major cities, centers,
whereas the men would be mobilized into the military.
So let's talk about that danger a little bit for a second. I know we don't have much time left in your broadcast, but let's just talk about that a little bit. What's going to happen when Russia is starting to get most of the country? Well, I see a lot of dangers. For one thing, Russia is now being forced to basically take over the country from border to border. Now, theoretically, they can go and take, you know, have the Donbass under their control and maybe a buffer zone, and they can have Odessa and make Ukraine landlocked and even link up with the area that was the pro-Russian area of Moldova. And that's all theoretical. And a new rump state is, contrived in the east and maybe occupied by the Poles, by the way, who have their own probably designs on it. But I don't put anything past these Jews that are running these policies and running NATO and running the American government. I mean, they could continue on this war in a terrorist fashion. I mean, there's no Robert E. Lee on their side. Robert E. Lee decided to surrender the South over the overwhelming force of the Union Army, even though a lot of his commanders wanted to continue the war on, like in a revolt, in a traditional warfare like that. But Lee said,
Guerrilla warfare.
Yeah, guerrilla warfare. And I don't put it past these Jews to continue on this war where it's a constant war. And also, the danger is that if they are really losing this thing, and they know that the way they manufacture most of these wars is by creating not a false flag, but even a provoked flag operation. And we saw that in the Second World War against the Japanese. We knew that Roosevelt was trying to provoke the Japanese emperor and the Japanese nation to attack America. They wanted the attack on Pearl Harbor. This is in the diaries of the people that were all around Roosevelt, or these Jews like Blumenthal and so many others around Roosevelt. The Germans were not going to even attack an American ship, even if an American ship fired on a German destroyer and the German destroyer could kill them. We have incidents of that, right? The Germans weren't going to do it. So they wanted what they called the backdoor to war. So what they did was they told the Japanese, they were belligerent to them, and they said, we're going to cut your shipping lanes off. And Japan, without shipping, without trade, they don't even have oil in their country, enough oil to operate on. They don't have enough energy. They don't have enough, you know, in many ways, food, all sorts of other necessary things for their economy. Japan has always been a country that's had a very big dependence on trade. And so they basically told Japan, we're going to cut you off. We're going to destroy you. We're going to starve you out. We're going to destroy you, and then we're going to come for you, you know? And the Japanese were forced into a dangerous situation where they felt like, oh, if they don't strike while they can, while they still have power against the huge, mighty United States, which had more economic power than any country on earth, which is also true right now today, both economic and military, that unless they strike first, they have no chance, even though they also saw, and this is interesting reading the Japanese accounts that I've read from the time I was a small boy, it's very interesting, that they also saw that they had little chance of success, that maybe they could do enough damage to the fleet and much damage to make the war, postpone the war, be able to defend their shipping lanes, and maybe draw out the war to where they could make a negotiated peace. But of course, it didn't work out that way. One of the reasons it didn't, by the way, is because we had a definite policy. When the Roosevelt administration was trying to provoke an attack, and they even thought on Pearl Harbor, they conveniently got all the biggest ships, the most modern ships in Pearl Harbor, out to sea. There still was some there, obviously, but they got them away from Pearl Harbor. And we did crack the Japanese code, and America and Roosevelt knew the code was coming. This is not a conspiracy theory. It's just kind of a reality. And so what's the danger here? Well, they could create a false flag. I mean, they could do a dirty bomb to radiate part of the country, especially the eastern part of Ukraine, to destroy the Russian positions and have a disaster kind of like a Chernobyl, but an intentional disaster, and to blame it on the Russians. Something went wrong, you know, on the plane that they were going to do this against the Ukrainian. It accidentally went off in, you know, whatever, Crimea or in eastern Ukraine. There's a lot of danger to this because these people that run this world are crazy people. I mean, they're really crazy Jews. I hate to say it that way. They're as crazy as anybody. Like, I feel like I'm somewhat of a scholar of the Talmud. I haven't spent my entire academic career studying the Talmud like every Jewish school does. But when you read the Talmud, you realize the people that wrote this book are crazies. They're weird. They're sick. And these people who control us, promote the LGBTism, promote all this degeneracy, pornography, massive destruction of the European people through more massive immigration, it is a disaster. Mm. That's the show's calling me, so we've got to go do my live show now.
Okay, and I will finish up this show on my own. Thank you very much for joining me.
You got it, buddy. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was Dr. Duke, and I'm going to be called by that same show momentarily to partake in it. But I'm going to finish this up. We've got another 5 minutes or so, and possibly I'll play a little bit of a song. What I was trying to get from Dr. Duke, and I got, you know, we got a certain amount of insights on this. Really, what happens? What happens when a country loses a war? What happens when it's exposed that everything that the government's been talking about was a lie? It's very traumatic. Dr. Duke was talking about Japan. You know, the Japanese government had been telling its citizenry how hard they were winning throughout this war. Well, of course, in 1942, in the Pacific, that was midway, early 1942, and they were losing ever since midway. They were back on their heels ever since midway. And even in China, I'm not exactly sure what the date is, but the Japanese, I think even in the late 30s, had really become overextended in China. And there were people... there was a Prime Minister, Shidehara, who was Prime Minister for just a few months in late 1945. After the surrender, he was tapped to be Prime Minister for a little bit. And I think he had been a foreign minister at one point. But he was somebody who was worried and I guess had expressed at some point the concern that Japan had become overextended in China. What happens afterwards? Well, you can get a political collapse. Japan didn't have a complete political collapse, but it was major. It was a partial collapse. You wound up with a most of the old elite. You wound up getting it like going from one part of the old elite to a new part of the old elite. But you know, what were the ramifications? Well, they renounced militarism, and in fact they renounced the right to have a military and wage war, and they have not waged war since then, although they do have a fair-sized military, which they call the self-defense force. But you know what happened in Germany, where you did have the complete collapse, and this is losing a war. Was it even that Hitler was lying to his public so much? Obviously, I'm sure other people know a lot more about this than I do, but I'm sure that the German government during World War II was propagandizing their people to think that they're winning and that victory was possible. The German government was completely collapsed, you know, and What were the ramifications there? Well, kind of renouncing their own races or their own ethnicity. And, you know, in the long term, it didn't happen right away, but in the long term, just giving away their country. That was slow stuff. But, you know, you can see you had a collapse in Russia in much more memorable times, and things happened very, very quickly there, where you had the entire governmental structures replaced by different governmental structures and a different state. So the Soviet Union was dissolved, and the Russian...
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's...
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off LLC, 417-932-6419.
You know, the entire governmental structures replaced by different governmental structures and a different state. So the Soviet Union was dissolved and the Russian Federation emerged, and it went through convulsions, absolute convulsions. But, you know, even you look at the Franco-Prussian War of 1871, I believe. 1870, 71, I think it was 71. And France lost it. What happens to France? Well, Napoleon III, he was the emperor, and his empire was collapsed and a republic emerged in its place. When you lose an important war, you're going to have major upheavals. You can even look at Vietnam. We went through major upheavals. And, you know, what happened to President Nixon in 1973-74? It did have a lot to do with Vietnam. And you know, I was just a teenager, but still, I was somebody who was very, very hostile to Nixon. And I, you know, and in retrospect, I recognized that while Nixon was, he didn't completely withdraw troops from Vietnam, that when he came in, you had well over 500,000 troops in Vietnam. And by the time he left office, was it under 100,000 by then? I mean, I remember in school putting up, you know, welcome home signs in the hall, and we were welcoming home the troops, because Nixon was pulling out troops. He didn't pull them all out, but he pulled out most of them. He wasn't given credit for that. But, you know, the United States losing that war, it not only cost Nixon his presidency, but you had just major upheavals in American society. The Church Commission, which looked at the CIA, you had massive 1974 midterm election where the Democrats had just got massive control of the and the Democrats weren't nearly as subversive back then, you know, and so you had a lot of legislation came out of that, you know, regarding election campaign finance and stuff like that. At any rate, I think I'm starting to get obscure now, so maybe I'm just going to stick a fork in it, but the main point I'm trying to get at is that you're likely to have some sort of really major upheavals, because not only is the defeat in this war inevitable, but it's coming at a time where you've had massive hoaxing, you know, with the vaccines, the coronavirus, with the election fakery, with the trannyism, with just so many fronts, all this hoaxing and really blatant racial attack on the majority population of the United States, mass immigration. And so to have the trauma of losing a war, even if it was a proxy war, it was a major, it was the mother of all proxy wars, to lose this at a time of such instability, I think is going to have major repercussions. Finally, if it's done while maintaining the taboo on Jewish speech, you're going to get one kind of, on speaking about Jewish power, you're going to get one kind of result. But if it's done in the context of somebody prominent introducing the topic of Jewish power and the Jewish role in all of this into the discourse, that is going to have a big influence on how things turn out. Thank you very much. I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do is all right.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.